Yo, hey, we are back with another episode of Dialogue Heavy with yours truly, Michael Anthony McMillan. What up, guys? Good morning, good evening, good night, wherever you are. Thank you for listening. Hello. So, I am going to give you guys another couple of chapters of God Bless the Girls. We are in the Twilight section now. It's more of a retrospect and now Sarah is talking about the things that have gone on ever since she's been home. So if you listen to last week's episodes, 40, 41, and 42, Sarah has moved on. Some time has passed since the abduction. She's been home for a while. She went off to school for 4 years to college. And She was missing Mark the whole time. The guy that she had been avoiding all these years as friends. She started missing him when she was gone away from home. And the woman, you know, in every story, the main character has to change is according to the things that happen to him in the movie, just like we do as human beings. And Sarah has changed. If you remember, when she was younger, she wanted everything. She would give anything to be out of Texas and away from that type of town and a small town and stuff like that. She thought she wanted to see the big world and didn't think that she liked Mark. As a friend, yeah, but kind of thought he was a bit creepy as trying to be a boyfriend and stuff because she just wasn't interested at the time. You know, these things happen. And so since then, she went off to college, dated a few guys, and by the time she gets to the point of graduation, she can't wait to be back in Texas, at least, you know, in some part. And Mark proposes to her. She denies him and embarrasses the hell out of him. But, you know, later on, they start dating and stuff. And a couple years later, as she said in last week, they got married and stuff. So that's good. They moved away. They moved to San Antonio from Galveston, which is about 4 hours away. And the thing is, she has this secret. The reason why she moved away is because she had this secret. And her secret is that Gore, she's actually having correspondence with Gore. Gore writes her letters from jail. And obviously, she thought it was initially creepy and everything. But she started to actually like it, which is some weird form of Stockholm syndrome, I guess. But, so she started to like it, and she got this, you know, this inkling. She knew that she was doing wrong. She knew it was dangerous and not right, but she couldn't bring herself to tell Mark or anybody in her family until one day, Terry calls her and tells her that Boston told her that Boston is having a conversation with Gore. And that kind of brings up a few points because it was starting to become blatantly aware. Sarah was starting to become blatantly aware that Gore had to have some help in writing some letters to her because he just the things that he was saying was just a little bit too coincidental to her life. Like taking pictures and having weird outfits on, and all of a sudden in his letters he's mentioning that. He never said, you know, Boston or anything like that, but she was starting to get weirded out by it. So now these girls have planned a trip to see each other for quite a while. And she figures that she'll go there and not only tell the girls that she has had a conversation with Gore, but she's thinking she's going over there to blame it on Boston and put all the pressure on Boston. So yeah, that's where we're going to start at today is I believe chapter 43, and we'll just go from there. So without further ado, I bring to you God Bless the Girls, chapter 43, 45, and 46. We might even go 47 today. This is going to be a longer episode, so strap in, guys. Here we go. Chapter 43. Oh, and as you know, as of this point right now, everything that's recorded on the Dialogue Heavy podcast is written and recited by yours truly, Michael Anthony McMillan. So here we go. Chapter 43. I'd flown into Denver to meet the girls at this 5-star Winter Wonderland resort a day earlier to really get my mind straight on my approach. I was alone in this, so I didn't have Terry, Mark, or my family to bounce ideas off of. When I reached our host hotel and got into my luxury room that had a big, beautiful sauna-like tub that I couldn't wait to soak in, I pulled out my laptop to do some research. I needed to know the jail system back and forth and how the letters were sent in and out, and more importantly, what the protocol was. And ironic enough, it was fairly simple. Nothing of illegal activity, nothing of sex, nothing coded, and in fear of transporting drugs through the letter paper, you can't spray anything, including perfume of any kind. Okay, simple enough. He didn't actually do anything wrong. It was just the contents and the hidden innuendos in the letters that were sometimes creepy. But to any correctional officer reading Boston's correspondence or even his letters to me, it would just look like he was writing his true love. But now my concern was what he and or Boston was getting out of it. It's not like I was ever planning on writing back, and he was never getting out of jail. So, with that information downloaded and Boston being the one of blame, I felt like I was in the clear. Tammy and Susie would see that Boston was a lunatic, and the pressure and guilt from holding that terrible secret would be far from me. Wow. Good job. Now, it's time to kick it in the tub. That tub felt so good. Borderline scalding water with fresh suds would do me just fine. Be good to take it easy and enjoy my time away from the monotony of daily life as a law-abiding, tax-paying adult. I was a big girl now. And big girls work hard and play even harder. Later, when we all first met at our agreed time in the lobby for drinks, all the girls embraced and did the usual girl talk. We admired each other's dresses, complimented each other on how beautiful the others were, and played nice for the most part. But I knew deep down in my subconscious, it was just a hoax to avoid the elephant in the room. Once we'd all had some cocktails in us, the fangs were due to come out, and the shit would surely hit the fan. Besides, when you think about it, the whole meeting was stupid to begin with. I mean, why would 4 women who all witnessed a terrible trauma together the last time they saw each other meet up and be drinking together when alcohol was the very substance that got them all to experience said trauma in the first place? Who fucking knows, but we did. And what came next was more than a fan. It was a shitstorm that none of us were quite ready for. Chapter 44. Gosh, Susie, Terry said. How much weight have you lost? I don't know. Not much, though. Bullshit. It's at least 25 pounds. Susie blushed. No, really, I lost a few, but it's really more toning than anything else. Well, tone me up, girl, Terry said. Ever since the boys started playing sports, they haven't had a need for mommy as much as you can see. Terry stood up and made a twirl while grabbing her gut. I'm so fat. The girls collectively laughed. Oh, stop it, I said out of kindness. You still look good. Don't lie to her, Sarah, Boston said. All the girls were quiet off of Boston's comment. Oh, really? Boston, Terry said. What? You gained a lot of weight. My eyes shifted from Terry to Boston, then back to Terry. I knew the way Terry looked at Boston since the moment we greeted each other that she was a firecracker ready to blow. Well, Terry says as she sat down and took another drink from her 5th 7-and-7. I can lose this weight, Boston, but you can never stop being a backstabbing little bitch. Whoa, I said. Girls, calm down. Fuck. That, Sarah, if Miss Boston here has so much to say about my diet, I'm wondering if she has anything else she'd like to share with everybody. Fuck, I thought to myself, here we go. Like what? Boston said. Like what? Terry said louder than she needed to. Oh, I think you know what. I don't know what you're talking about. Really? Really. Okay, I'll tell them for you. Go ahead. Susie sat on her side of the table clueless, which I thought was weird because we all knew the secret. All this was just a formality to chastise Boston for her stupidity. Oh, now you're oblivious, huh? You don't want to tell Susie or Sarah of your newfound love? I knew in Boston's next statement that she'd moved from lunatic to sociopath when she said, "My newfound love? Oh, you mean Gore." "What?" Susie exclaimed. Boston took another drink and didn't even bat an eyelash. "What the fuck is she talking about, Boston? You talk to fucking Gore?" "Yeah." "So?" "So? What the hell do you need to talk to him for? Why do I need a reason? I like talking to him." Susie knew of the secret, but it looked to me like she couldn't process actually hearing it from the source's mouth. "Wait, you mean you're talking to the fucking scumbag who raped me and Terry and you? How fucking disgusting is that? Disgusting? Yes, disgusting. Excuse me," our waiter said, who apparently was standing right behind Boston the whole time. "I'm going to have to ask you ladies to quiet down, please. We have other patrons here who are trying to enjoy their meals as well." "Oh, shut up," Terry said. "We pay good money to stay in this fucking place as a family. If we need to argue, we're going to." I watched as the waiter quickly walked over to his manager, who was already looking from afar. "Boston, if you think that's okay to talk to that fucking trash of a human being, then all of us are done with your ass. Don't call me when your boyfriend cheats on you again. Don't message me when your mother has another drunken tirade at the next family reunion. Nothing. I am fucking done." Terry grabbed their bag, which caused Susie to do the same. I was frozen, but Boston stood up and did exactly what I hoped she wouldn't. Boston slammed her hand on the table. "You guys think I'm so bad for talking to fucking Gore, huh?" "Yes, Boston, we fucking do," Terry said, and her and Susie started to walk away. "Sarah talks to him too." That stopped both Terry and Susie in their tracks. And if that wasn't enough to shock the hell out of them, Boston thought she would heighten the stakes and tell them a bald-faced lie. And she's in love with them. And just like that, the goddamn movies, the girls turned around slowly and looked at me. In fact, the whole damn restaurant did. "What the fuck?" Terry said. "That's not true, right, Sarah?" Susie mumbled. Right then, I wanted two things. I wanted to be not there, and I wanted to be at home with Mark. And if I couldn't have either of those, I'd have taken not even being alive. That look of surprise and shame that came off of Terry and Susie's faces was worse than coming in second place at the Olympics for me. And I couldn't handle it. I didn't even have the courage to tell them that Boston was lying right through her fucking stupid teeth. I didn't grab my bag or even pay for my meal. I just ran out the restaurant, out the hotel, and down the street. I ran, and like I did when I broke out of the house that I was abducted in, only this time, there was no woods. Chapter 45. By the time I'd realized I was out of breath, I probably had been running for at least an hour. How could I bring myself to see the girls' faces again? Boston, I didn't mind because she got me into this shit, but Susie and Terry, that would be brutal. Terry had to have felt betrayed. She confided in me, and I broke her heart. I thought about heading for the airport and catching the next flight for Texas, never to be seen or heard from again, but I realized as I ran past a nightclub with security checking IDs that I didn't have mine. I felt so many emotions during the first half of that run that my mind did me a favor and shut everything off. All I can do is hear my own breath. Then after a while, I got a rhythm. Then after that, I was in a catatonic state. The longer I ran around downtown staring at the lights of passing cars and skyscrapers, my senses finally came back to me. "Wait a minute," I thought. "This bitch Boston deflected all the blame on me because of the words that she chose. And she's in love with him. I was the one to be made the fucking pariah when in actuality, had she not talked to Gore or better yet gave him my fucking address, none of this would have happened in the first place. Yeah. I could have returned the letters to turn the letter to the sender or burn the letters up before reading them, but I still wasn't wrong. Fuck that. I said aloud, frightening an astute older couple out for a walk. I'm going back to the girls. I'm going back and tell the girls the truth, the real truth of the situation without Boston's influences. They would hate me for it, and I deserved all the shit I was going to have to eat, but at least it wouldn't be eating at my soul anymore. I was already starting to feel better. And that was mainly because... Wait, sorry guys. I was starting to feel better already, but that was mainly because the nice homeless man gave me accurate directions back to the hotel. Chapter 46. I waited 10 damn minutes before anybody came to the concierge desk to assist me, and even then the jerk that came wouldn't give me a spare key to my room because I didn't have an ID. Since Terry had apparently taken my belongings upstairs, he'd have to contact her first and get my permission for me to go up. He was just being a dick, though. He knew I was staying there, and for God's sakes, he was the guy I'd almost ran over during my 100-yard dash out of the restaurant earlier. Now I'd have to go hat in hand to Terry's room to get my belongings while tensions were still high. As I walked down the long manicured hallway to room 218, I could already see in the distance that my purse and the contents of it were sprawled on the floor. Fuck. I gathered the last of my things and looked up and saw that the peephole in room 218 was dark. Terry was watching me, all right. Terry, I said, go away, I heard Terry say before the light of the hole returned. Can I please explain? Nothing. And in all honesty, I was a tad bit relieved. I walked towards the elevator and was about 20 steps away when I heard the door swing open. I thought you were fucking married. I turned around to see a furious Terry standing in the empty hallway like a scene out of The Shining. Susie poked her head out and shook her head as well. Fuck, I thought, I'm in for it now. Terry, do you actually think I would actually talk to that piece of shit? Why would Boston lie about that? I slowly walked back and Terry started for her door. Because she's probably in love with him. I don't know. Both of you guys are full of shit and sick. Terry, you know, in a weird way, I almost expected shit like that from Boston. But you? I'm trying to tell you, Terry, Boston started all of this. I'd reached the door, but Terry was all but ready to slam it in my face. Why should we believe you? Susie stood behind Terry with a match of intensity in her face that Terry had, and that scared me. I reconsidered our little jiu-jitsu sparring match. You shouldn't, and I should have told you, but I was embarrassed. I haven't even told Mark or my family. Terry smirked and looked back at Susie. Then they both looked at me with a sinister look that made me extremely uncomfortable. And then I thought about it. You didn't, I said. Oh, but you see, we did. She smiled. Revenge had been achieved. Fuck! I panicked and rifled through my purse to see about 100 missed calls from Mark. Why would you do that? Me? You're the lying, conniving bitch that betrayed us. I felt like I was about to pass out. I didn't. I told you I never wrote or called him. All I did was read the stupid fucking letters. Whatever. Both Terry and Susie said at once, Terry rolling her eyes. Why would I? And then I just stopped talking. I don't know if it was to regather my thoughts or I didn't know what to say next. My brain was like scrambled eggs at that moment. Why would you do what, huh? Cat got your tongue? Terry said. Terry, I said after a moment, and then I walked off. The door slammed after a few steps and I returned to my room and grabbed all the letters that Gore had sent me. I brought the letters back to Terry's and I could hear her and Susie recounting the night through the door. I didn't have any energy to argue or even explain myself. I felt like anything I could have or would have said that night would have fell on deaf ears. I slid the letters under the door spacing and slumped back to my room in hopes that Gore's words would do all the talking. I still had to talk to Mark that night and see if I wasn't going to have divorce papers waiting for me when I returned to Texas the next day. And boom! All right, guys, it's another episode of God Bless the Girls. I believe that's 44, 45, 46. Yeah, I believe so. But, yeah, man, so we got some interesting stuff going on, man. Our friend Sarah thought that she was going to go to Denver and have a nice little Wonderland escape and turned into shit. You know, Boston found a way to fuck everything up for everybody there. And, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's not cool what Boston did, but you get what I mean. Pretty cool and change of scenario and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm thankful and I'm glad that you guys are listening and continuing to listen, man. Like I said, 2,000 plus weekly listeners and subscribers to the podcast. And I'm just looking to get more and share the stories and get them out there, man. So appreciate you for listening. We'll come back next week and give you some more of the story. It's so crazy. Sometimes when I read this stuff, I'm like reading it. I think I explained this before, but I'm reading it for the first time since I wrote it, you know, when I did write it. And I'm even interested in seeing what's happened next. So, that's how I can know that it's a good enough story that even I, if I have some time to forget the story, even I like what I'm hearing next, or I'm interested in hearing what's going to happen next. So that's pretty fucking cool. But anyway, I won't be patting myself on the back too much. Still got this story to finish for you guys. And we're getting there, man. We actually are getting to the closer to the end. So we're going to have a big bang and then it's going to be all over with pretty soon. So, all right, man. Well, I'll catch you guys next week. Thank you again for listening to another episode of Dialogue Heavy with yours truly. God bless the girls. We out of here. Peace.